Welcome to the Light Church Podcast. This is David Oakes. I'm pastor of the Light Church Fellowship in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, and I'm founder of Israel Study Tours with David Oakes and David Oakes Ministries. Thanks for joining me for this latest edition of the Light Church Podcast. We apologize for not posting new podcasts over the last several weeks, and the reason behind that is we have been doing construction in our facility, and it's been very, very noisy. And we didn't think that it would be good to do a podcast and have all the accompanying saws and hammers going on behind the podcast audio, so we have just refrained from doing any podcast. But we're back today, glory be unto God, and we're glad that you have downloaded this latest edition of the Light Church Podcast. Now, we're going to begin a new series of teaching today, but before I begin to teach, let me give you a little bit of history. When I graduated from Rhema Bible Training Center, the wonderful school that was begun by Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin, we had a commencement exercise when we graduated, and Dr. T.L. Osborne spoke at our commencement exercise, and he got up and began to teach his sermon for the graduates, and it consisted primarily of just scriptures. He just began to read scripture after scripture after scripture. And all of these years later, that sermon has stayed with me, the one that he used just using scriptures. And on occasion, I try and attempt to teach the exact same way. I don't do it very often, but every three or four years, I might pull out a sermon and I do nothing but read scriptures that pertain to the subject that we're discussing. Well, that's what we're going to do today on a very basic topic of our Christian walk. And we're going to teach on the subject of the power of the tongue. Now, in my church over the last several months, we have been discussing just the basic principles of our Christian walk. We haven't been getting into things that are too meaty. We need to have the sincere, unadulterated milk of the Word of God and not just meat all the time. You need the foundational materials. And so we've been discussing that in our church, and it's been a blessing for all the new ones that have been coming to the church. They can begin to get a foundation, and we just don't get them picked up on the 15th rung of a ladder. We get them started on the first rung of the ladder. Glory be unto God. And it's also very good for those who have been in the Christian walk for many, many years to go back and make sure that they have a sure foundation. So today on this podcast, we're going to begin to speak on the subject of the power of the tongue, the power of the tongue. Did you know that you will live to the level of your confession? The confession is your profession according to the Word of God. The word is translated from the Greek word homologeo, which is a compound Greek word that means to say the same thing. Now, Jesus, according to Hebrews, the third chapter, is the apostle and the high priest over our confession, over our profession. He is apostle and high priest over the same things that he said that we say. God Almighty is looking out over the fact to see if we are speaking His word in all situations and circumstances in our life. Your tongue holds great power. In fact, if we just open up the scriptures, we can open up to the Proverbs, the 18th chapter, and there's really no scripture that says it better than this scripture. It says in verse 21 of Proverbs 18, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." Notice that death and life are in the power of the tongue. That means to tell me that our tongue, glory to God, has power in it, and we can speak death and destruction with our tongue, or we can speak life and fruitfulness with our tongue. How we use our mouth and our words, my friends, is very, very important. Now, I try to bring this thought up every time I teach on this passage of Scripture. The word power here is a different word than is normally translated in Hebrew as power. The word power here is the Hebrew word yad, Y-A-D, yad. And yod is, in Hebrew, the hand. Now, we have the yod in Hebrew. The hand begins at the fingertip and goes all the way to the shoulder or the armpit. So that entire extremity there is the yod, our hand. And we find the word in a compound Hebrew word in the word yada, one of the words for praise. And when it tells us to yada, it means hands to Jehovah. That's where we believers In these last days, since the mid-40s, I'm sure it started even before that because it's a biblical word, but we have been most familiar with it. If you turn on your television, if you're one that is not of the full gospel or charismatic persuasion, you'll see people lifting up their hands to the Lord. Well, the New Testament tells us to lift up holy hands, but the Old Testament word is yada. It means hands, yad, ah, from Jehovah, yad, ah, hands to Jehovah. So yod is the portion of the body from the fingertip to the armpit. Now this says that death and life are in the power, the yod of the tongue. What's it talking about? Well, it's drawing a picture for us that your tongue is like a hand and death and life are in the hand of your tongue. Your words will go out and grab for you either death or life. It will take possession of that for you and bring it into you. Jesus said in Mark the 11th chapter, "Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." It speaks about saying things and you having what you say. It's vitally important. But most people only hear that aspect or that scripture. And they say, well, that's just those claim it and have it people. Well, it's more than that. It's not a possibility that you might have what you say. It is an absolute certainty that our lives we're living in today, what we have been speaking for days and months and even years. Now, I want you to listen to that because death and life are in the hand of the tongue. I want you to imagine reaching out with your hand and grabbing some object and bringing it to you. Maybe it's a glass of water. You pick up, in other words, your hand brought that glass of water to your lips for you to partake of. Your tongue serves the same purpose. It goes out, glory to God, and grabs a hold of things and brings them into your life, either good things or bad things. We are a product, our lives are a product of that which we say. Now, did you get that? So we're going to do, just as I said, Brother T.L. Osborne did, we're going to go through many, many scriptures and establish the fact that your tongue and the words you speak, the way that you use your mouth, is vitally important. Turn with me first to Proverbs, the 15th chapter, verse 4. Listen to these words and read along with me if you have your Bibles. Verse 4, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Your tongue will bring life to you or bring death to you. I like the fact that it's a tree of life. Trees of life, just like the tree of life in the Garden of Eden, had fruit on it. Oh, if only Adam and Eve had eaten of the tree of life and not of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If they had just plucked from that tree of life, they would have been locked into perpetual life of God. Hallelujah. There wouldn't be the bad things that are on this earth. Satan wouldn't have had an entry into this earth if they would have partaken from the tree of life. Well, your tongue, if it is a wholesome tongue, if it speaks correct things, is a tree of life. The fruit that is plucked off of that tree can bring great satisfaction to your life if you use your tongue in a proper fashion. What is a proper fashion? To say things the way that God said things, to use His word, to speak His word. Glory be unto God. And as we go on in this study, we're going to find out the kinds of things that we should be saying as opposed to the kinds of things that we shouldn't be saying. But for now, we are just establishing, using the word of God, a foundation so that you'll understand the words that you speak are vitally important. The Living Bible states in that exact same verse of Proverbs 15, verse 4, states, "Gentle words cause life and health. Griping brings discouragement." Gentle words cause life and health. If you want life and health to come into your life, we have to choose our words properly. Glory to God. If you want discouragement to come into your life, just go ahead and gripe and complain about everything. You gripe and complain about everything, my friend, and let me tell you something. You are going to bring discouragement on your life. Depression will come into your life by what you speak. You speak the wrong things day after day, week after week, year after year, and it will have an impact on your life. You might not see it overnight. You might not see it next week, but it will impact your life eventually. Did you get that, my friends? Gentle words cause life and health. Griping brings discouragement. Well, let's look at the next scripture that we're going to use to lay our foundation. Proverbs 10, verse 5 says, "The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked." The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. What are you dipping, glory to God, out of the well? You know, you can go into a well. Maybe there's an old house somewhere that, and they've dug a well, or you're in the desert place, and there's a well that's been dug, and you drop over the bucket with the rope attached, and you drop it down into the source, and you pull out. Well, you want, glory to God, fresh water to come out from that underground aquifer. You want that fresh water to come out. Well, your tongue, your mouth, glory be unto God, is a well of life. And that which is dipped out of it, praise be unto God, should be life-sustaining and life-giving. What you say will bring life or death into your life. Your words are vitally important. This is not something that some full gospel minister of the word of faith has come up with. We're going to look through scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture that states this exact thing. What you say is vitally important, my friends. Glory to God. Now look at Proverbs, the 18th chapter. Just like our brother T.L. Osborne did, we're just reading some scripture here and expounding in the middle of them. Proverbs, the 18th chapter, verse 7. "A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul." Well, first, let's define what a fool is. A fool in the Bible is not like somebody who goes out and does silly, ridiculous things and is ignorant. A fool, according to the Bible, is a person that will not adhere to the principles of the Word of God and apply those principles to his or her life. A person that will just be a rejecter of the Word of God is a fool. Just like a humble man, my friends, is a man who will adhere to the principles of God and walk in the principles of God no matter what situations or circumstances hold. He's going to walk, or she's going to walk, in the principles and the guidelines and the decrees of the Lord God Almighty, and they're going to see victory. A person that is not humble will not do that. He's not going to stand with the Word of God. He's going to call things the way he sees it. Glory be to God. And he's going to add a little bit more to it than that. I mean, they'll take things that are that they're experiencing in their life and pronounce them boldly that what's going on in their life. And then they will just add a little bit more to it to punctuate it. And that's a man that's not very humble. That's a woman that's not humble. A humble man's going to stand on the Word of God no matter what they see, no matter what they feel. Now, a fool is just like that man that's not humble. He is not going to stand on the Word of God. He's not going to call it God's way. He's not going to say it the way that God said it. So a fool's mouth is his destruction. He's just going to say whatever he sees. He is not going to stand on the Word of God, and he's not going to say it God's way. Notice what it says, "And his lips are the snare of his soul." Your soul is the soulish realm of man, is your mind, your intellect, your will, your emotions. Let me tell you what, my friends, if you want to take captive your soul, you just say whatever you want to say, and those things will come upon you. Hallelujah. Now, this is not some psychological teaching. This is the word of the living God. You can bring much destruction on your life by the things that you say, and God is telling us that very fact, my friends. Notice that again. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. Glory be unto God. Let's go to the next scripture. Ecclesiastes. Hallelujah. Find Psalms, Proverbs, and then you're going to come upon Ecclesiastes. And it says in chapter 10 of Ecclesiastes, verse 12, "The words of a wise man." So a fool is a man that will not go with the decrees of God, will not live by them, will not pronounce them, will not decree them. But then now it's talking about a wise man. He is a man, glory to God, no matter what it looks like, no matter what it sounds like, no matter what it feels like, he's going to stand with the Word of God. He's going to build his house upon the foundation of the Word of God, that solid foundation, that rock. The words of a wise man's mouths are gracious. They're filled with grace, glory be unto God. But the lips of a fool will swallow up himself. You can consume yourself by the words of your mouth. Glory to God. Notice what it says in the Amplified Bible. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious and win him favor. Ooh, glory to God. It'll win you favor. Your words will win you favor. You can't walk around, my friends, and say, well, nobody likes me. I'll never get a promotion at my job. Nobody ever pays attention to me. Nobody ever does this or does that. But the Bible tells me that the words of a wise man are gracious and will win you favor. You speak the right things, hallelujah, that you are the righteousness of God in Christ, that you are the elect, that you have been accepted into the brethren. You speak, glory to God, that you can do all things through Christ which strengthens you. You can even say, glory to God, according to the word of God, that you have favor with men because of the anointing of God that operates and flows through your life, that men are drawn to you, praise be unto God, that men listen to you, that men find what you have to say as important. And you don't go around and say this to people, but in the privacy of your room, glory to God, the privacy of your home, when you're riding around in the car, you speak what God speaks about you in your word, in his word, and notice it will win you favor, but the lips of a fool will consume him. The word consume is defined as destroyed. The words, the lips of a fool will destroy him. It'll bring destruction on his life. It'll bring death in his life. Now, we're not talking about all the time physical death, but we're talking about areas in your life will have death injected into them so that they are incapable. They are incapable of bringing about things of success in your life. We want success in our life. We do not want destruction. We want the things that we desire to come to pass. We don't want them to go away from us. We want life to come. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have life more abundantly. God wants life, living, construction to come into our life. He doesn't want destruction to come into our life. God's words translation says it this way: a wise person's words win favors. Ooh, glory, I like that. But a fool's words are self-destructive. If you want to destroy your life, you just say things that are contrary to the word of God. Again, you might not see it today. You might not see it tomorrow. You might not see it next week or next month, but you are eventually going to live in what you have been saying for months and weeks and years. Are you listening to what the Bible says? Now, again, remember our starting scripture was, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. One of the great writers on the subject that we are speaking of was the dear brother E.W. Kenyon, who passed away, I believe, in 1948. And Brother Kenyon said this about the words you speak: your confession is your estimation of the value of the word of God. Your confession is your estimation of the value of the word of God. I believe that to be the exact truth, my friend, that what I say, if I speak things negatively all the time, if I speak words that are powerless to enrich, that's a vain word, words that are powerless to enrich my life, if I go around and speak those things instead of the word of God, that is my estimation of the value. I don't value the word. I don't believe that the word is powerful enough to change my life. Therefore, I speak what I see and not what I see in the pages of the book, the word of the living God. If I walk around and talk all the time about how badly I feel, how sick I am, when the Bible very expressly states for us that by whose stripes ye were healed, that he brought them out without any sickness, without any feebleness. Oh, glory be unto God. My estimation of the word of God and its value is so great that I am going to speak what the word of God speaks, regardless of what I feel or see. Again, Mr. Kenyon said this: your confession is your estimation of the value of the word of God. Well, let's go back a little bit again to Proverbs, the 21st chapter, as we continue our scriptures that are laying the foundation for us on the importance of what we speak. Glory be unto God. Now, Proverbs, the 21st chapter, verse 23 says this: whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. The Amplified Bible says it this way: he who guards his mouth and his tongue keeps himself from troubles. You can construct in your life a life that is, get this, that is separated from troubles if we learn, glory to God, what to say. You know, I start out every day and then I speak it many times during the day, and then I speak it at night, the 91st Psalm. This was a psalm that was spoken forth by Moses as the children of Israel were going through their 40 years of wanderings, and it starts out, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." It goes down and it says, "There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling." Well, according to most Christians, that's just not the way they speak. But this Bible that we have in Psalm 91, and it would do you good to memorize it and say it constantly, "There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling." Why is that a reality? Well, Moses goes on to tell, "For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot upon a stone." When my wife and I get in the car to take a trip, we speak Psalm 91. Glory to God. "There shall no evil befall us." It goes on down into verse 16, and it says this, "With long life will he satisfy thee and show thee his salvation." I mean to tell you, my brothers and sisters, that's the word of God. We don't walk around saying we're going to die an early death, that we're going to, what bad's going to happen today, what terrible thing is going to come upon us, what calamity is going to come upon us. We speak the word of the living God. "There shall no evil befall us, neither shall any plague come nigh our dwelling." Folks, just because you're a Christian, a good believer, and you love Jesus, doesn't mean that you can't neglect to speak the word of God. The Bible says, my people, God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. They don't have the information to keep them from receiving or experiencing destruction in their life. And they need knowledge. I'm giving you information. I'm giving you knowledge so that if it's acted upon, it can become wisdom in your life. You just can't talk about calamity and expect to not experience calamity in your life. Why not take Psalm 91? Why not make it a part of your life? Memorize it. Put it to heart. Speak it daily. Speak it before you sleep. Speak it when you wake up in the morning. Speak it during the day. Glory to God. "There shall no evil befall me, neither shall any plague come nigh my dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over me to keep me in all my ways." Glory to God. "They'll keep me from dashing my foot against a stone." The angels have been put around me. I mean, you can expound on it just like I'm doing now. You can expound on it. The angels are set around me. The angels have been placed around me by the words of my mouth and the Almighty God to keep me from harm. God, glory to God, wants me not to experience calamity in my life. And so we're going to get in agreement with God and say it the way that God says it. Notice the Amplified Bible again. "He who guards his mouth and his tongue keeps himself from troubles." Watch what you say. Don't speak the negative. Don't speak that which is contrary to the word of God. Hallelujah. We're not talking about positive thinking here. We're talking about the application of the word of the living God, doing what God hath said. If we do it, we're going to have great success in our life. Blessed be the name of God. Well, I know one thing. I'm getting excited right now about the word of the living God. This stuff works because it's God's word and it's the way God did it. Amen. Proverbs, the 6th chapter. It says, "Thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth." Well, a snare is, here's a hunter, a fowler, and he goes out and he sets up a snare to trap his prey. Now, that same picture is being brought over to us. "Thou art taken captive with the words of thy mouth." What do you want to be held captive by? Do you want to be held captive by that which is good or that which is bad? Some people's lives are held captive because they have snared themselves because they speak the words that is based on what they see and what they hear. What you see all the time is not a great thing to go by, even with people. I mean, somebody can look the part and not be acting the part. Remember, Samuel was going to anoint one of Jesse's sons in his house, and they brought the oldest to him, Eliab, and he said, "Oh, surely this is the one that's chosen by the Lord." And the Lord said, "Nope, that's not it. You're looking on the outward appearance. I'm looking on the heart." So sometimes that which is pretty, let me put it a good Oklahoma way, just ain't pretty. Are you listening to me? Well, a lot of times that what you see is not the way that it actually is. You got to call things the way that the Bible calls things. There was God in Romans, the 4th chapter, it relates the story to us that God looked at Abraham. Abraham was incapable of having children. He was almost 100 years old, and God said, I called him the father of many nations. God who calleth things that be not as though they were. God called Adam a father, and even named him Abraham, which means the father. So every time Abraham called himself Abraham, he was calling himself a father. Are you listening to me, my friends? What you say is important, and what you see all the time, I want you to notice this, and I want you to get this and wrap your brain around it today. Glory to God. Everything you see is not the way it is most of the time. You call things the way the Bible does, and you will get Bible results. But it says, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. I want to be snared, glory to God, with the positive, with the word, glory to God, and not with the negative. The anti-word, thou art taken. I want to be taken by the words of the living God. I want to be overrun. I want to be overrun with blessing. I want to have so much glory to God that I have to say, ooh, just like in the time when they were building the temple, Lord, stop it, Lord. It's just too much. You know, I want God's too much to come over me. I want God so very abundantly. I want the super abundance of God's word to come on me. Hallelujah. That's what I want to be taken by. I don't want to be taken by the negative. There's so much wonderful stuff between Genesis and Revelations to come upon you and bless you. Folks, those are the kinds of things I want. I don't want what the world experiences. I don't want what most of the church experiences. I want what the Word has for me in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Mr. Kenyon also said this. I'm going to quote Mr. Kenyon again. He said this, hallelujah, you said you could not, and the moment you said it, you were whipped. You are imprisoned with your own words. You talked failure, and failure held you in bondage. Listen to those words of Mr. Kenyon again. You said you could not, and the moment you said it, you were whipped. You are imprisoned with your own words. You talked failure, and failure held you in bondage. I don't want to be held in bondage. I don't want to be snared in a negative fashion in bondage. So I'm going to watch what I say. You can't just say what you want to say. You have to put a guard, the scriptures tells us, over our mouth, over our lips, to have Bible goodness come our way. Well, let's look at another scripture in Psalm 34. Maybe you can hear me turning the pages of my Bible. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I want to be a word person. That means I want to live by the word, walk in the word, use the word on a daily basis. Use it. Study it. Hallelujah. Not just leave it to collect dust. Hallelujah. There's more to life than just listening to an occasional sermon. Grab the Bible and write your own sermons. Blessed be the name of the Almighty God, whom I love and whom I serve. Verse 12 of chapter 34 of Psalms. What man is he that desireth life? Can I have a show of hands? How many of you want to live? Just lift your hand as you're listening. How many of you want life? What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? I mean, that's a question. The psalmist is asking a question under the anointing of the Spirit. Well, I'm going to lift my hand right here behind this microphone. I'm lifting my hands. I desire life. I don't want death in my life. I don't want destruction. I want life, glory to God. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Oh, are you listening to me? Then you're going to have to watch what you say. Now, this podcast is coming to a conclusion very, very quickly. So I'm going to stop on the scripture, but we'll pick up with this same scripture our next podcast together. We're so glad that you joined us on the Light Church Podcast. Again, this is David Oakes. I'm pastor of the Light Church Fellowship in Bartlesville, Oklahoma. And remember to join us online at davidoaksministries.org. davidoaksministries.org. If you're in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, ever, stop by and see us at 1244 Southeast Washington Boulevard. That's on Highway 75, 1244 Southeast Washington Boulevard in Bartlesville, Oklahoma. We love you. We appreciate you. We'll be with you next time. In Jesus' name, be blessed for now.